Blog Talk Radio.
Who is it? High seated, so deep in boundless realms of light, whose measure space nor time has meted, nor air in eternity, whose mind supports, yet itself maintains, floating on pinions of repose. Who, in his mightiness ordaineth what round and in him changeless flows, and what revolves and what is driven around him, centre of his plan, the sun of suns, the spirit living of space, the soul of all we can conceive and of the unconceived, the heart, the life, the fount, the sea, and source of all things here perceived, that from him spring, and that his decree omnipotent and mercy flowing on wisdom from that did evoke, ere this full crowded palace glowing, the heaven of heavens, the darkness broke. Where all our eyes, our wings, extending to veil his dazzling majesty, mid harmonies to him ascending, we fall before him tremblingly and kneel, confused in awe together. Who is it? Nay, or picture then his being with seraph's feather, or is it beyond your tongue and ken?
Greetings, Anhotep. Welcome to Oracle's Readings. You've got your Omi Inca. I'm live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you by saying Habari Gani. And I'd like to greet those old friends by saying what's up. And to those new followers, I like to say, keep on following the leader. Thank you so very much. We are featuring our series on the gods. And our topic this evening is, for God's sake, we've got to give more power to the people. Now, why do you suppose that we're saying that? is because the gods do extend power and authority to the people. And we're going to be talking about that this evening. And I told you about our crone, our in-house resident crone, who was going to speak last night, but she'll speak this evening, and we're going to talk to some authorities. By her being the crone in the family, she has a little bit more seasoned input to give us about the gods that walk the face of this earth. And as you know, Mrs. Harvey normally comes in and gives us permission to speak, and I'm going to ask her for permission to speak before I get started. Mrs. Harvey, do I have permission to speak this evening?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, we haven't did our libations in a while. We want to slow things down tonight, and we want to offer up libation for those ancestors, and we want to give them homage. And we don't worship ancestors, but we acknowledge them and pay homage to them. So we're going to pour libation this evening, and we're going to pour libations to our ancestors, and we're going to use our spiritual minds to pull down the forces today. I like to pour libations to Oludumare, which is the higher force within us all. And I pour libations to Oludumare, and I say, Ashe. Ashe.
Ashe.
And I like to pour libation to our mother spirit, Yaminye, and I say, Ashe.
Ashe.
I like to pour libations to the east, and I say, Ashe.
Ashe.
Ashe. I like to pour libations to the west, and I say, Ashe.
Ashe.
Ashe. I like to pour libations to the north, and I say, Ashe.
Ashe.
I like to pour libations to the west, and I say, Ashe. I say Ashe, and I call forth all of our higher forces. I like to call forth Nina Simone. I like to call forth our ancestors, Dr. Carruthers. I like to call forth Madam C.J. Walker, Zora Neale Hurston. I like to call forth Joe Lewis. I like to call forth the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I like to call forth those ancestors that brought us thus far, whose shoulders we stand on, and I decree that the ancestors will continue to allow us to stand on their shoulders so that we can see our way into the promised land. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we want to say amen and amen. Now, Jesus is our eldest brother, and we call on Jesus as a witness, and we want him to be a witness today in all of us. He was one of the way showers. He was not the only way, but one of the way shores. And we acknowledge our eldest brother because he set the pattern for a mastery person. He showed us how to master ourselves. And that's what we're supposed to be striving to be, like a master. Then we can transition into the gods that we are. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who have not been following us, yes, we do call ourselves a god. And yes, we have acknowledged that we've awakened the God that slumbered within us, and we are now coming in full force, and we're now on the planet. And we like to say, for the record, for God's sake, we've got to give more power to the people. That means we've got to wake up more people, and we've got to give them the knowledge that they're gods. And we're not going to just take that cliche of the song and say, for God's sake, we got to give more power to the people and dance a little jig. But we're talking about empowering souls today that can rise up and call themselves a God. Now, I want to refer to our in-house crone today. I want to get her opinion on the gods. And where does the gods come from? And when do we come into Godhead and Godship? Now, I'm going to ask Mrs. Harvey, an elder over 80 years old, strong this month. She will be 81. So she's lived a long time and saw a lot of things, and I know she's seen some gods on the scene. And I'm going to ask her to explain what does a god do?
God, what does a god do? You know, there's many thoughts that other people have about what God does. But Jesus Christ, who died for the remission of our sin, led us to God. and God is the creator of us and everything on this earth, and we should follow him and his example.
Very good statement, Mrs. Harvey. I appreciate the perspective you're coming from Eurocentric teaching. Now, let me give it to you from a perspective of a conscious-minded Nubian that we are. Coming from the conscious-minded, we know that God created everything. And I'm going to give you the perspective of the African. The African believes in the triad God, Ilede, Oludulamare, and Ile. Now, in that perspective, we know that there was a God that created the universe and all of the rays that were here. That's what we were taught, right? And there's a God of the inner and the outer court. And then there was a God that we interacted with. All of the other gods were full of fire, ratified fire, and combustible. And if you approach those two other gods, it would burn you up alive. Therefore, because God knew we couldn't embrace those two particular deities, but he gave us a god to put on our head called Ori. If you are to have good success, you are to thank Ori, the godhead that lives on the top of your head, who's been placed in your being. Now, we are trying to give some power out today, because there's a lot of people that are powerless, and a lot of people don't know that they're gods. We got to wake them up. We got to shake them from the slumber and let them know that we're going to give more power to the people. Mrs. Harvey, how can we give power to the people in a day when people feel powerless?
The way we can give power to the people is, like he said, like God said, go ye into the world and preach my word and take nothing. So when you go out and do God's will, you're letting people know, and you're preaching his word.
Now, I'm going to phrase that question another way, because there's some little G's out there saying, wait a minute, Miss Harvey, that sounds like a Eurocentric teaching. What about the power that we thirst for so much? How does young people get empowered? And how can you empower people who feel powerless?
You introduce them to the God. And when you introduce them to God, within yourself, they can do all things.
Now, I like that answer, Mrs. Harvey. When introducing them to themselves, who the Godhead that lives with inside of them, then it's not them doing it alone. They're collaborating with the God inside of them. Then they can do all things. Because mostly what we do is through the God that lives through us, and that's how we're able to do all things. Now, if we're going to empower some people, we've got to really, really wake up some souls today. Because a lot of people are feeling powerless and incompetent, because no one ever gives them authority or the ability to rule and reign over their own situation. Now, we got some black people in the community here that feel very powerless. And for so long, power has been taken away from the people, meaning the Nubian brothers and sisters. We have had power stripped from us. And even when the president gets in the White House, his power is diminished. What's up with that? How is it that we've taken power away from our figurehead who's supposed to rule and reign over us? Is it someone in the background always manipulating those that are in power? And how do we give power to the people to empower our black communities, the ones who are struggling? How do we give power to our black communities, Ms. Harvey?
Go ye into the world and preach my word and take nothing. You give power to the people through you and what you're doing and what you can show them that God is doing through your life.
Very good answer. Now, I don't want to sound churchy here, and we don't want to start quoting scriptures, and we don't want to lead people in a Bible study. We want to take them where they can use this knowledge immediately, home volume that they can take home and use for Monday morning. We don't want them to have to go look up a scripture or recite a scripture or memorize a scripture. We want this to be something tangible that they can feel, see, and touch. So we want to give it to you kind of proper like. We want to talk to you about the power that you possess on your job. Do you not know those who have obtained power had to take power by force? The violent take it by force. Those who have had power in their hand, they have had to use force to take power. Nobody's going to give you no power and lay it down on a silver platter and say, here it is. For God's sake, I got to give you more power. No, you're going to have to take your power. You got to stand flat-footed in someone's presence and let them know, I'm coming for the power, and this is my power, and you can't take it away from me. So we're going to have to come to the conclusion that power is necessary. We have another young man that walked in our studio. We're going to ask him about power. What does power mean to a middle school, high school student? What does power mean? So, for God's sake, we got to give more power to the people. And for those elderly people who are still in the community and they're holding on to the power, they don't want to pass the baton, what do we do to those elderly people? And how must we intrigue them to release the power to us? I'm going to ask Ms. Harvey, how can she pass the power on to the younger generation?
One of the ways to go into the world and preach my word. And the power that you have, you can pass it along to somebody else.
Ladies and gentlemen, please ignore the background noise. We're going to try to keep on task here. And we're going to get a younger person in the audience if we can out in our studio. But if not, we'll go straight ahead. Now, we know about the Bible and about going into all the world and preaching the word. We know that. We heard that so many times. It's been beating over our head. But we want to know, how do we release the power from the old heads so they can extinguish that power, pass the baton on to some young person in the community so they can get behind them and mentor the younger person so that they can stand out front and take over and take the lead, take the lead. I'm going to ask Ms. Harvey to rephrase that question about how she can extend power to the younger generation.
One of the ways you can extend power to the younger generation is through your life. Let them see your reaction and how you live. And then you can teach and tell them how to extend, how you receive your power, and you can pass it along to them. Because our young people need the power today. And our older people like myself, we need to demonstrate to our young people so our world will be different.
That was a very good response, Mrs. Harvey. Our young people are looking to us. As a matter of fact, they're very angry at us because they think we're a bunch of cowards. They think we don't stand our ground on anything and we don't fight for anything anymore. We tell them to go and march, and march for whatever it is you don't have. Now, if we told them that the real war is not against their brothers and sisters in their community and that the real war is outside of their community, then we would fear for their lives. But we have to tell our young people to stay on guard because we need an army of soldiers, foot soldiers. We need an army of foot soldiers, but we've got to direct them so that they know exactly who they're at war with. And as it stands right now, a lot of gods are walking around here powerless. That's why we can't recognize the God within each and every one of us. Most people think that when you have authority, they call you a boss. And those who are in control and who speak a thing into existence, there be not, and it comes to pass, they call them a boss. Same thing as a God. So we got some big G's around here that call the shot callers and big ballers and who call the game for the day. Those are the would-be gods. And there are a lot of them out there in the community. And mostly ministers need to know to go after those big shots and bring them in and train them up and develop them to be the gods of the world, instead of letting them be in the enemy's camp. A lot of times we leave the best of our people in the enemy's camp who could make for great gods. Now, For God's sake, we've got to show the people how to get more power. And the gods have got to demonstrate this so that when we are looking to be mentored, we could be mentored by a god and we could develop our faculties and our skills and we could make more gods. Now, when they came out with that phrase, for God's sake, we got to give more power to the people, that means that people want to take authority over their lives. They want to have authority over their health life, over the health arrangement for their insurance and the way that they receive health. And they want to take authority over having choices to make decisions over what procedures that they should have done, whether it be a preventative procedure or an acute procedure. They want to go into the hospitals and make decisions on what is done. Now, let me speak to you elderlies out there. A lot of you are on Social Security. And when you come into the hospital and you have Medicare or Medicaid, you've got people making decisions for you, taking your power and authority away, telling you what services you're going to have, putting you through all types of tests. I say, for God's sake, we got to give more power to those sick elderly who can make choices and who are still sane of mind and have their faculties. We got to give that power to them to make collective decisions whether or not they want to have elective surgery or not, and be able to get a second opinion. So we want to give those elders that power. Now, there's a lot of elders who've gotten inappropriate services from hospitals that are not prepared to service them. And they don't want to give them quality service, and they walk away with no authority and no power, and they find themselves in the poorhouse because now they have a big expense to pay out for services that they didn't want. For God's sake, we got to give these people more power. Let's give some more power to our elders. Now, let's get on to young people. You know why young people show out in classroom and demonstrate the worst side of them? It's because they're bidding and biting for your power. They want authority. And the way a good teacher controls her class is to find the most strongest, powerfulest personality in the class that is biting for her power, then she shares it with them. She brings them right up front and gives them control and allows him to demonstrate what power really is to a younger person. And she urges him and she rallies behind him or her to demonstrate the power that they have. That's when the child in the classroom starts shining because they want that power. They would do just about anything to get it because it's not the grades they're looking for. It's the authority and power that they want to demonstrate in front of their other pupils. I want to say this. For God's sake, we got to give more power to the student in the classroom. We got to share that power, teacher. We got to show them that we're the gods and that we can give them power and we can take it away. What happens if a God wants to take away authority? Mothers and fathers who have children play God every day and don't even know it. How is it that we run households and we are the gods in the household and don't take authority in the courtyard? What is the problem with that? What is up with that? Let me ask Mrs. Harvey, what happens when you're the boss at home and you run things and then you get out in the courtyard and you shrink? What happens? What causes that?
What causes that is that your spirit.
What causes that?
The lack of spirit. If you have the spirit of God in you, you will have the power to eliminate so many things out there. You'll recognize the traits of the enemy. And when you recognize the traits of the enemy, the power that you possess will help you fight the enemy.
Okay, so you're shrinking because the power you have. Now, there's a superficial power, just as there is a dynamic power. Some of us profess to have the power, but we be faking the funk, like young folks say. We be faking the funk. We don't have a power authority. Those who have a power and authority don't have to sling it around. They don't have to throw it in people's faces. They don't have to demonstrate it all the time. The person who speaks the less and who is the quietest, who actually shrinks into the woodwork, is the one that usually got the power, because he don't want to get angry and make someone have to force him to stand out and usurp his authority or her authority, because those are the ones who don't have to talk about it or brag about it. Having power means you have authority. It's just like when you're transitioning into a master. You are confident. You wear confident like a new pair of jeans. You walk in the room and the whole room knows that there is an air about you and that you are carrying a certain fragrance that they have to look at you, and you command their respect instantly when you speak. You tell him to go here and there and her to go hither and there, and you give instructions by just a wave of your hand, and then young people look at you and say, I want some of that. Just like in Malcolm X, when Malcolm X turned his hand and people turned to the right and the left, and when he swung his hand out and they began to walk and proceeded out front, the cops looked at him and said, that is too much power for a man to have, but not for a God. And that's the kind of power we all are supposed to possess. When we are in our homes and our castles, we're supposed to usurp that authority and use it well, making sure that we're not always abusing our authority. And there's so many people that get power that abuse their authority. And then you see those little guys who are looking at them, being mentored by them, seeing that they don't know how to handle power and authority well. And guess what? Power and authority gets abused. How do we abuse power and authority? Who are those people that continuously abuse it? Let me ask Ms. Harvey, who abuses it?
The people who breaks the law. And when you see a person breaking the law, you know he's abusing authority. And we have to learn how to respect authority. We have authority over many things. The police is an authority. And you must learn to respect them as they go about doing their duty. And as far as authority comes, God is the most highest honor of authority in the universe. And we have to learn how to obey and respect his power of attorney. And when you learn to respect that and do that, it makes you wise to recognize the authority and power of the enemy. And that's what we have to recognize.
Thank you for that information, Ms. Harvey. That was a good and well said information. Now, authority and the power, does it come? How does it come? How do we acquire the authority and power? And what way do we acquire authority and power? And we have to look at, it just doesn't come raining down with authority and power. It takes a while before somebody can gain authority and power. And that authority and power, we develop it through our reputation. And once we start developing a reputation for ourselves, it's kind of hard to shift those reputations unless we start out right from the beginning, exemplifying authority. A lot of people who are in authority position, we have to always remember, we may not like that person, and we may not even care for that person as a friend, but we have to respect the authority and position that that person is, and give that position respect, and that will beget more respect. But if we go around saying, I don't have to respect authority, then guess what? We're going to be offenders, and there's repercussions and consequences to pay for violating authority. Now, it's a good thing when we have the right people in position who hold authority. They tend to be sensitive, wise, and they tend to know how to accept responsibility well and develop it and delegate that responsibility. A real true God knows how to delegate the authority and delegate the responsibility to the point where he can empower others. That's all most people want, is ability to be heard and to be empowered. And more of those people that come to you that are hurting and broken, take a little bit of your God power and pass it on to them and empower them. We'd have less people biting for authority, less people fighting for a place in society. But no one wants to share their power. No one wants to share their reign with anyone, because once they gain this power, they feel like they have to hold on to it for dear life. But a God doesn't have to do that. A God will find authority and power from anywhere, and he will bequeath it to those who are less adequate than himself. And he will build that person up and make that person into a God. Gods beget more gods. For God's sake, we got to give more power to the people. How do we do that, Miss Harvey?
More power to the people is by everybody respecting authority. And when you respect authority, people are going to respect each other. And we're going to have to do that, because you know what? Our young people watches us. And this is why you have so many young people committing crimes nowadays, because they never respect, they don't know about authority. Those that do, they respect authority, and those that don't, disrespect authority.
Well, God say, Mrs. Harvey, we are going to have to learn how to demonstrate a better behavior in front of our young children, because they certainly are watching. And when they tell the story about David in the Bible, they talk about David having mentors and people that he could watch, and how people were watching him as he grew up and saw the gifts that he had in him. And we all possess those gifts. We just have to awaken the gifts within us. We all have the gifts in us to become a God, especially to become a boss. And a lot of people say, well, I don't have it in me to be a supervisor. I don't like to supervise anybody. I don't want to tell anybody what to do. You don't have to be the bad guy. You could always take that authority and use it to build somebody else up, not necessarily yourself. You already been granted with the power. Now go and find somebody else who has less authority and empower them. That's when they see you as a boss and a guy, because they know you have the ability to grant power to others. Now, wouldn't that be a great thing if we walked around here knowing that if there was somebody that had low self-esteem, somebody was suppressed, that we could lift them up by empowering them? That's all the world wants, is to be loved. I ask you the question today again, would you be loved? Could you be loved? We love each other when we share our power with one another, when we empower each other to be that God that we know has already been planted in us. All we have to do is say, I'm gonna bequeath you some of my power. I'm going to give you authority. And look at the people's faces when you make them an authoritarian and you bequeath them power. Watch how some of the people honor you and respect you and even bow down to you, because they know you have given up some of your God power to grant that power to them. How do we give power to somebody that's not deserving? We know that person's not there yet. We're trying to help them to beat their flesh down so they can get in position for authority. You first have to learn how to serve. No one could be a God or a boss until they learn how to serve. Once you learn how to serve, you can become a leader. That's why you humble yourself to be a servant first. Those who have served the least of these will always rise to become a God. And that's why it's very important to teach humility. Jesus himself became a boss and a God because he knew humility. And that's what we are going to have to develop, is humility. Let's talk a little bit on that subject. How do we acquire humility? And what makes us humble? Do people call us soft when we're humble? Do people call us milk and toast when we humble ourselves? Is it necessary to humble yourself in certain conditions? And how do you get some humility, Ms. Scott? How do you get some humility, Ms. Harvey?
All you do is you display love. Love. Love is the way of showing humility, because it tells us, love you one another as I have loved you. And if you love one another, you're going to show humility. And that love going to make you really feel strong about each other. You're going to show love in everything you do towards your fellow man. And when you do that, when you show that love, it's going to bring peace. Love brings peace. And this is what we have to teach our young people today. And they can cut out some of the crime they're doing once they knew about this.
Well, you know, the children always say, keep peace alive. Now, if we can keep peace alive and we walk with authority, the gods are on the scene today, and they ought to be walking with authority. And all power should be in their hand. And we wouldn't have to worry about someone taking something from us or suppressing us. If we learned how to walk in a dignified way and carry the authority in a peaceful manner, not that everybody's going to lay down their power and give it to you, but they would have a fight on their hand if they came up against you and you were willing to do whatever is necessary for that authority. Now, sometimes we have to bring authority to get authority. But we have so many people in this world who abuse that authority that a lot of people shy away from wanting the power, even though they're the better leaders and fit to be a leader. They shy away because of what some of us have done to destroy the title of being in authority. But I want to tell you to go after your authority. Somebody has stolen some authority away from you. Somebody has told you you were not good enough to be gifted with authority. And somebody told you you weren't fit to be an authoritarian or to be a god, and that it was blaspheming if you ever thought you were God. Don't believe the hype. Because all of you and each of us were born with what it takes to be a god. We only need to master ourselves. We don't have to go after anything out there in the atmosphere. We don't have to be anything but just be and become, because it's already in you. It's in you, it's in you, it's in you to be a god. Once you exemplify that in front of young children and they see the authority you have, they will walk in your shoes and signs and wonders will follow them who believe. You are to leave signs behind that you're God, and those that are watching will want what you have and want to walk in your footsteps because you have the ability to embrace them with authority and power. And that's what this real war is about, is a war and struggle for power. But those who carry power well don't have to struggle for it. Some people will hand it to you right in your hand and give it to you. But you have to be ready for it. So wake up the Godhead within you. Shake him and wake him up. He's laying dormant and asleep. You have it because you were given it at birth. God knows our beginning from our end. He knows our inception, and he gave us a bit of his essence so that we all could rise and call ourselves gods. For God's sake, why don't you rise up and be the God that you are and give more power to the people while you're at it? You have to share the power. You cannot use it selfishly. You have to bequeath it to someone else, and you have to empower others. And once you empower others, then you lead yourself into becoming a god. And at that particular point, you become a great god. There are those of us who will not use our power if it is to save our lives, because they're afraid and they become cowardice. And those people who are fearing anything, they have to get over it. And they have to get over the grain house and carry authority so that they will begin to walk without fear. Fear is only a lack of faith. And those of you who say you have faith, you have to walk in confidence because you're walking in the God confidence that God gave you, not in your own strength. Do it in the confidence that God gave you. Now, I want to say once again to those young G's out there who are fighting for this power, it's available to you. All you have to do is reach up and carry yourself in a humble state, and you will be risen to a level of authority. And authority is not always for everyone to take. Some of us may not want to be in leadership, But those who are God's automatically know they have to take up that position and carry it. And I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being so patient with me. And we are going to take you out of here this evening. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, we had to pull that one out for the evening, and we are going to be checking out of here. For God's sake, don't forget to give more power to the people. And those of you who are gods out there, share the power. Share the power. You'll be able to share the wealth as well. So share the power. So we're checking out of here. You got your Omi Inka live, leaving you today with peace and soul. For God's sake, go ahead and give more power to the people. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. And we're just going to say for the record that we have done a lot of shows, but this is a special show for us. It's a hot topic talking about the gods. The gods are waking up. We're waking them up, and they're coming out of the atmosphere.